How's everybody doing? Everybody okay? Good. That's good. I mean, it is the part of what we are about is about the fact that it is God's already done it and he wants us to step into it. Okay, and that's the hard part of what we get to do is we get to step into what he's already given us. And it's sometimes it's a mind block, sometimes it is our own flesh, sometimes it is all these different elements. But there is that element where we're like, oh, God, would you come? Yet he said, actually, Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And so that power that is resident there, the power of the Spirit of God living on the inside of us is enough. We just have to yield to him. Being yielded to Holy Spirit is the biggest challenge that we face, honestly, because it's all there, right? And we have to lay ourselves down to allow God to move through us. And that's a whole part of this, as we've been looking at this contend in prayer and advance the kingdom. We want to be a people who can contend and get a hold of God who is in us, right? But we contend with those things in prayer with the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God. Yes, that's what we're about. Part of advancing the kingdom of God is being surrendered and yielded to him, right? And that's the challenge that we face. And so this month, who was here last week with Lynn? She spoke on evangelism. Was that a good message?
Yeah.
So we've got this particular focus on equipping us for evangelism. You know, when it comes to evangelism, often we get caught in the trap of it's something extra that we have to do with our life rather than it's a part of who we are. You know, I know that I used to kind of feel like, you know, people would talk about evangelism and be like, oh, that thing where I have to get out there and talk to people about Jesus. Oh, no, that's going to put me in a really uncomfortable place. Rather than this is who we are, that it's actually our number one job and our number one assignment. And so we don't do evangelism. We're equipped for our job. Our job is to make Jesus known. Our job is to be true to Jesus, kind to one another, and missions to the world, which was the Moravians. That was their motto, okay? Be true to Jesus, be kind to one another, and the end result of that is missions to the world. So evangelism, this month that we're doing it, and equipping ourselves for evangelism, it is not this added extra that we're going to do, like we're going to get on the streets and we're going to knock on the doors of people and we're going to do that. This is a part of our life. This is all of who we are. This is our God-given assignment by God. This is what we're supposed to, this is what we live for. We live for making Jesus known and bringing souls into the kingdom. This is what we live for. So we've got to be equipped to hear and equipped to speak. So Matthew 28, go into the world and make disciples, okay, of all nations, teaching them all that I've taught you. Acts 2, that you would be my witnesses to all the earth, right? The whole point of why we exist and who we are is that we would do what God has asked us to do, right? So this month particularly, we've got this focus on with different people who are speaking. The focus is going to be being equipped for evangelism. Does that make sense? So the evangelistic gift, people who have that particular gift, their gift is to equip people for evangelism. So that is what we are going to do. Does that make sense? The difference between those two? Because evangelism for me was always a struggle. You know, we're going to go out and we're going to do evangelism. Did anybody have that same struggle? Was that just me? Okay, we're going to get out on the streets and do evangelism as opposed to I'm going to make Jesus known in however way and whatever way it is. It's just a part of my job. It's what I do. It's a part of my job. So when we make disciples, we're fulfilling the two greatest commandments of love God and love people. If I'm in love with God, then I will love people. If I'm in love with God, I am fulfilling what he's asked me to do, which is souls to the kingdom. God's heart burns for souls above all else. That's what he burns for. We are made for relationship with God, and anybody who's not in that relationship with God is a part of what we are designed to do. It is to bring souls into the kingdom. Okay, so world evangelism. I found this quote, and I don't know who said it, but I'm going to quote it. World evangelism requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. That's what it requires. Okay, and somebody smart said that, and I don't know who it is, so now I said that. All right, that's it. Officially, I am now the smart person. It's exactly. You know, all the smart things we say is just repeated stuff, so it's okay. Okay, get your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 9. It's okay. I'll read it to you. And this whole chapter is Paul, in context, writing to the Corinthian church, and he is communicating with them about... he's writing these different letters to correct stuff, but this particular chapter of the thing is Paul saying, you know, giving up his rights. And sometimes we feel like we've got rights. It's my right to do this and my right to do that. Well, actually, when we become a follower of Jesus, we take up our cross and follow him. So we kind of, you know, those rights, the whole American rights thing, you know, doesn't really work in the kingdom, sorry. So we've given up our rights to be a follower of him. So 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed the Jewish law, I too lived under that law, even though I am not subject to the law. I did this so that I could bring Christ to those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles, I do not follow the Jewish law. I too live apart from that law so that I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything so that I can save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessing. Going back, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessing. Paul, who was, obviously he was sent to the Gentile church, but he is obviously a full-on Jewish Pharisee who had all the training. He was born as a Roman citizen. The guy had it all going on, right? So he all had that side of things going on, as well as the fact that he was sent to the Jewish people. And his attitude was, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win some. So when I'm around the Jewish people, I'm not going to put the law on them that says they have to do this, this, and this, and this to be saved, right? And when I'm with the Jewish people, I'm going to align myself with these things so that I can save some, all right? And so we want to be a people who know practically and spiritually what we want to do, okay? Like, I love the practical side of evangelism. I think it's really important that we know how to present the gospel practically. We know the Romans Road practically. We know that we could sit down with anybody and say, okay, these are the verses in the Bible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And we could take them down the Romans Road of leading somebody to Christ, right? Practically, we need to be able to do that, yes? Having tracks, like Lynn, she was somebody who has lots of different tracks of different situations, and that we can practically use those tools to give to somebody to draw, you know, as a tool, a practical tool. All right, it's important that we have when we go into conversations with people that we are skilled in our conversation. Right, we really actually do need to be good conversationalists, right? We need to be able to draw out of people what is, you know, we need to ask good questions practically. it's important that we do that. And you can see Paul was practically, he would put himself in these situations where he would do what was required to get people to that. But the other side of it is I want us as a community to be able to hear the voice of God as the biggest and best tool to open up the door into somebody's life. Does that make sense? Okay? The practical and the spiritual go hand in hand. So it's not one without the other. It is both, right? And so I believe that the tracks, the questions, the practical is important, but I also believe that we've got to be a people who know how to hear the voice of God and can use the gifts that God has given to us as a door that can open the doorway into somebody's life and change them like that, right? Does that make sense? And so us as a community, you know, other communities, I don't care what they do, us as a community, we're going to be people who know how to hear the voice of God, right? We're going to be a community who know how to get a hold of him and hear what he's got for people. Does that make sense? I love how Paul, like, my story of transformation is important on the practical side of it. To be able to communicate your own story of transformation is important. To be able to communicate, I was this and now I'm this, is super important, okay? Because it allows us to identify with where people are at. And you can see constantly throughout the book of Acts where Paul uses his own story to help identify with where he is at, that he would be able to relate to the Jewish people or the Gentile people, okay? And you can look in Acts 22 as there he is standing before there he is in verse 1. He's brothers and esteemed father. Let me offer my defense. Okay. He speaks to them in their own language and they be quiet. Okay. So he's able to identify with them. He gives us religious credentials. He talks about how he was. Look, I was somebody who murdered people because I thought I was doing the right thing. And then I had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Okay. Paul was somebody who was able to relate to people with what was going on. Acts the unknown God one, Acts 17, there he is with the Greeks, I think. And they've got all these different gods around, and then they've got this one statue to the unknown God. And he's like, ah, the unknown God, this person, the unknown God who you think is unknown. Let me tell you who that is, right? So Paul was in that business of being able to work and to function and to communicate his story and communicate well, all right? So we have to be able to do those things. Does that make sense? But on the other side of it, we need to be able to hear the voice of God and be able to communicate clearly. And so this is primarily what I wanted to talk to us in regards to this morning. In evangelism is hearing the voice of God. How do we hear the voice of God? Who finds hearing the voice of God easy? Sometimes? Okay, so we're going to dialogue on that and then questions, comments, and let's engage, all right? So, John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, okay? Jeremiah 33, 3, call out to me and I will answer you. Psalm 119, 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple, okay? God wants to speak to us. And he wants us to be able to hear his voice, okay? He wants us to be able to hear and to recognize what his voice is, because that is the primary tool for being able to reach into people's lives with the voice of God, all right? So, how does God speak? Firstly, God speaks through audible voice. Who's ever heard the audible voice of God? Has anybody actually done that? Cool. What was that like? Was it a, you put your hand up. Yeah. Okay, Terry, what was your audible voice of God experience?
Well, I wasn't expecting it. I was walking up my stairway.
Yeah.
I heard an outside voice rather than myself.
Yeah.
Say, I am here.
Cool.
I know.
Awesome. Anybody else?
I was like,
yeah, Chris. Yeah.
Different.
Okay.
One is a very quiet whisper.
Yep.
In your head.
Yep.
That hits you at the most random time, but is undeniable. And the second one is a very loud, clear voice. that you can hear outside of your head. So it's like someone's behind
you. Okay. Okay, so audible voice of God. Jesus, Paul on the road to Damascus, knocks him off his horse and says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? The audible voice of God, I mean, not many of us probably have heard the audible voice of God like, boom, but God does speak that way, all right? That's one of the ways that God can choose to speak. Okay, secondly, inner audible voice. So maybe the first time was the inside, whereas the second time was the outside, but that inner like, boom, on the inside of you, hearing the voice of God speak to you like that. Who's ever had an inner audible voice like that? Okay, what was yours like? Yep. Yeah.
For me, some of the most clear times was had it happen a couple of times where I'm waking up in the morning and it's like I overhear a dialogue between my spirit and God, and that's been really cool.
Cool. First thing in the morning is often where I feel like God. That would be the inner audible voice or an impression. I don't know. You know, the idea here is not to get caught up in the box. The idea here is hearing the voice of God, practicing hearing the voice of God because God wants to speak to us, all right? So that's this is not to feel bad that, oh, I've never felt the voice of God. No, this is, you probably have. You just need to recognize all the different ways that God wants to speak to us, all right? Because it's important, all right? Whisper. Sometimes it feels like God's just speaking to your heart in a whisper, right? So there's been those moments like that. Spontaneous thought. Like a light bulb moment. Who's ever had those light bulb moments like the cartoons, right? Most frequent is that. Okay. Anybody else? That spontaneous thing? Mark, yep, in the back. What is that common? Is that commonly how God speaks to you? Or is that you just recognize you've had those moments? Yep, yeah. Good, Mark. Thank you. All right. So those spontaneous moments with God. Feeling, okay? So often God speaks to us, we get that feeling that there's something that, like, is that God? Does that feeling or impression, okay? And I believe that God speaks to us also through kind of how he's made us, right? Some of us are feeling people. Some of us are gut people. Some of us are thinking people, right? And so there's these common ways that God, this is how we relate personally, right? We're just a gut person. I just got that gut thing going on, or I've got that emotional feeling, or I've got that intellectual kind of thing. And God will speak to us often through those different ways, okay? How many people recognize that they are an emotion experience type person? Right? How many people are more on the gut, like I just have a gut impression? Okay, that would probably be me. How many people are the intellectual, like God will just drop verse or he'll drop something as a thought process type thing? Yep. Okay. So we don't need to get locked into how, but we want to be people who start to tune our ears so that we can hear these things, so that we can communicate clearly as an open door of opportunity into people's lives. Does that make sense? Okay. Knowing. Oh, that's that. The scripture. God will just illuminate a verse, all right? God often will speak to us as this is why we need to be people who are people of the Word. So that we're in the Word, so that we are encouraging ourselves, so that we are growing, but also so that Holy Spirit can illuminate something to us and be like, oh, okay, is this for me? Is this something that I need to be encouraged with right now? Or is this something for somebody else outside of myself? Okay. This is why we are that. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. Who has, obviously, we've all had those moments of the Bible, some verse standing out to us. Do people recognize that? Okay. Other people. God will use other people to speak to us. How often does that happen? All the time, right? Okay, and we'll get to the testing side of it soon, but we need to be people who can recognize that when somebody else might be speaking, it's like we've been thinking about a certain thing, and then somebody says something to us, and it's like, oh, dang, okay, there it is. There's God speaking to me through that. Okay. Signs. Maybe we just keep seeing the same sign that repeats over and over and over again, all right? And just recently when Kristen was here last time, he said about the numbers 444?
Yeah.
Four. It was this number four that kept repeating. 444 keep repeating. And it was like, it lined up with, you know, Acts is the fourth book of this, right? And so they had this moment like, oh, that's cool. And then everywhere they'd go to the grocery store and the total of the bill was $44.04 or something. And then there was the room we went to in Palm Springs was 444. And different things like that kept repeating. And so God might use a sign to illuminate something, to be like, hello, this is going on, okay? That can be a way that God will want to talk to us, okay? Dreams. How often does God speak to us in dreams, okay? That's another way, a common way that God would want to speak to us is through dreams, visions, these sorts of things, okay? Make sense? Okay, dreams may not necessarily be a literal thing, but they might be pointing to other stuff, okay? So learn from that. Signs, did that, pictures, visions, dreams, or now pictures or visions or imagination. Just watch your head on that, Stevie. Okay. You okay there, Stevie? She just wants to play the keys. Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Nature. I love walking the lake. Like I do my prayer room time, and I will walk the lake because I don't know what it is, and get in my rhythm, and I'm walking around the lake praying, as well as, and I often hear stuff from God and when I'm walking the lake and praying and that side of things. All right, or like if I've got something going on, I might be praying about it first, but it's not until I actually get out, start walking, and get into that kind of that nature moment that I'm able to not disengage my mind, but just get in that moment where I'm able to receive from God better because he wants to speak to me. Okay, art. How many people? God can speak to us through art, all right? So God is not limited to how he wants to speak to us, but we do need to be able to recognize the difference between God's voice, Satan's voice, and our own voice. And that's the tricky one, right? How do you recognize the difference between what is God, what is me, and what's the devil? Well, the easiest way is just to know that God is always speaking truth, okay? Satan is always speaking lies, and usually our own voice is speaking comfort, right? That would be the three determining things that can help you line this up. God's speaking truth, right? And so there's always this element of truth. If you feel like there's something that's true and right about it and it's lining up with the word of God and it's not that, then it's fine. If it's total lies, then it's probably not the voice of God, it's probably the devil. And then if it's just about making me comfortable, then probably it might be our own voice, okay? Does that make sense, the difference between those three? And so that's what we need to do when we feel like we've got something from God, okay? Because this is all about evangelism. So we're praying and we're like, God, what is it that you want to say to this person? Like, I'm going to be out on the street or I'm going to walk the lake and I know I'm going to find some people to pray for and I'm going to find some conversation, okay? So God, speak to me what you would want to say to this person I'm going to engage with. And then we need to take time to be able to write down and just be still before him and be like, okay, God, what is it you want to say? Maybe he gives us a picture. Maybe he gives us an impression. Maybe he gives us some words. And then we can decide and go, okay, God, was this you? Is this the devil? Or is it me? And just begin to start to develop this side of who we are. Does that make sense? Are we willing to have a go at doing this? Because this is what it takes for us to be and do what God's asked us to do. It can take time to distinguish between our different voices, okay? It can take time. So we need to practice. Practice, 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 okay? Remember Sean Bolt's talking about, or different ones, like they... actually, a really good testimony, if you're on Sean Bolt's podcast where he interviews Todd White, okay? And Todd White, super evangelistic guy, you know, awesome. And Todd was talking about how he got saved and had an experience with God's love, right? It was God's love that really changed that guy, right? And so he had this total encounter with God's love. And so now everywhere Todd goes, his whole heart and perspective is, God, how can I show your love? How can I be a vessel of your love to open up the door into somebody's life, right? And Todd was talking about how he would just get out on the streets and he'd be praying for people and nothing would happen. He'd be praying for people and nothing would happen. He'd be praying for people, you know, and he did this, you know, maybe 1,000 times before he finally saw that breakthrough, right? And then he started to see it more often. But it was the 1,000 times of nothing that helped him recognize the voice of God in the something. When you do the nothing and you hear nothing, okay, or it's yourself, when you finally move into that place of hearing the voice of God, it's like, okay, I recognize the difference between these two things. Does that make sense? And so the practice of, was this God's voice? Is this me? Is this the devil? We've got to practice it and have a go and take a risk that maybe I'm wrong, but have a go and do it. Like, I love how... I love the ease with which these guys communicate with people. So often it is, hey, I'm practicing trying to hear the voice of God. And does this mean anything to you? You know? And they just put it out there in a real practical way. Or they just like, hey, does this mean anything? Or I'm trying to learn how to hear the voice of God. And they do it in such a way that, well, if they're wrong, so what? You know? Doesn't matter, you know? I love how recently it was also Sean Bolts, how some guy had been trying to catch him out, like thinking he was like a fraud, listening to, you know, looking up people's social media to find out these words of knowledge. Okay, we'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but it was a word of knowledge. You know, the guy moves in word of knowledge. Does everybody know what word of knowledge is? Word of knowledge is a now word about somebody's life, right? Something that would open up a door into somebody's life. And so the guy moves in a pretty crazy level of this, right? And it was this one meeting where he got nothing right. Like, there was just nothing was working. And he finds out later that the fact that he had nothing actually spoke to this guy who was trying to catch him out more than the fact that he'd had something, right? Because he got it all wrong, okay? And so it doesn't matter whether we get it wrong or right. It's actually about learning to define and learning to have a go and stepping out and having a go and doing it, okay? Does that make sense? Yeah, it is scary. But the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, and so we've got to have a go. That's, I think, the big part of it is we want to continue to have a go, which Mike here reminded me. Two people this last month. Now we're into July, so now it's one a week. All right, so we want to find one person a week to pray for. Okay, we're stepping it up. So, you know, find one person each week that we can actually just put ourselves into the situation where we pray for them.
Yeah.
Put ourselves in that situation where, if nothing else, we have loved them, prayed for them, blessed them, and encouraged them. How hard is that, right? And so that's what we're going to put ourselves out there for, and take the chance that God might actually speak to us through what's going on in our hearts and lives. Does that make sense? So what's our safety in all of this? If it contradicts the Bible, it's not God. Okay? Hello. Talk it through with people you trust. If you get in something and you feel like you're hearing the voice of God in something and you're like, man, I don't know, this is so out there, talk with somebody you trust. Particularly with things like dreams, visions, you know, what is the actual meaning of this? Take it and go, okay, what do you think this actually means? Okay, so talk with these different things. If we're unsure, wait and ask God to confirm it. Okay, if you're unsure what something is, the things you're getting from God, then ask Him to confirm it. We will make mistakes, okay? Admit it, stay humble, and be okay. Okay, if we get this, if we feel like we've heard God's voice and we say something and it's wrong, oh well, guess I missed it. I'm sorry. you know, and just stay in that humble place of being able to prepare to have a go when we say something wrong, and it's obviously wrong. Like these people who are, you know, remember the red moon that was a while ago, and people are prophesying that the red moon was going to be, you know, the return of Jesus or whatever it was. People were just prophesying these way out there things, and it didn't happen. Well, publicly, they publicly put these things out there. Publicly, they should have got up and said, well, oh, well, I missed it, right? We judge the word, not the person, right? So if we give a word, if we feel like we're hearing from God and we say it and we're wrong, just admit it. It's okay, right? We make mistakes. It's okay to have a go and be wrong because we're not judged as the person. We judge the word, right? And the other encouraging thing is take the word, take the meat, spit out the bones, and move on. Okay? We're encouraged to do that by Paul. Okay, what else? It's rare for God to give the whole picture. We all want God to tell us everything. We want him to give us the whole thing of my life planned out. It's usually pretty rare that God will give the whole picture. Often it'll be he'll give us parts that encourage us to move forward and just go for it, all right? So just take that into mind. Write it down. I love, like, often when I wake up first thing, that's when I feel like I get different things from God. And so if I'm in that place where I'm like, I'm asking God at nighttime, God, what is it, blah, blah, blah. When I wake up first thing in the morning, it's those first thoughts for me, anyway, are those things. And in my half sleep, if I don't get my phone, kind of type up some whatever little message, whatever I feel, I'll forget it. It's gone. If I go back to sleep and wake up an hour or so later, it's like, what was that? I don't know, it's gone. Okay. There is an element of faith that goes with it. Hearing the voice of God, particularly for evangelism, there is an element of faith with it. We've got to actually trust God that we can have a go and it's okay. God will often speak to us in a language we understand through our main way of receiving it. Like if we're a sports person, God might use sports as an analogy to point us to something, okay? So don't be all looking for God to speak to you in these ways that you don't actually, you know? Look for God to speak to you with how you are made. How he's made you is how God wants to speak to us. If we ask in faith and something pops into our head, write it down, don't immediately discount it, okay? If we're people who are asking in faith and saying, God, I want to hear your voice, then the things that come to you, write them down. Don't discount that, oh, it's probably just me. I'm probably not actually, it's probably just my own thoughts. It's probably a thing. Write it down and then test it, all right? When you're asking in faith, if we're a people of faith and we ask in faith and then God gives us something and then we're like, oh, blah, blah. Okay, write it down and allow God to speak to us. And we've got to practice it, right? We've actually got to practice hearing the voice of God. We've actually got to develop it. We've got to have a go. Like we say we want to be a people of faith. We say we want to be a people who work and walk in the words of knowledge and walk in all these different things. We've got to practice and grow and develop these things so that we can hear his voice. Okay? Does that make sense? Keep our minds and hearts pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Matthew 5:8. Okay? We want to be that type of people. So, any comments or questions on that before I move into this next little thing? Who finds hearing the voice of God easy? Does anybody find it easy? Do you find that you have developed, the more you do it, the easier it is to become, to hear? Okay? Who finds hearing, does anybody feel like, oh, the voice of God? There's no way I hear the voice of God. Is there anybody who's like got that sort of a feel like, oh, I've never heard the voice of God? Nobody wants to admit it. It's okay. I think part of it is God is speaking so much to us. Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. We just need to get better at yielding to him and listening to him. That's the problem. The problem is not God speaking. The problem is in the listening. Like the other week, the problem is in the tuning. The radio, when we tune our radio dial in, the signal is always there. We're just not tuned to it, right? And that's what it is. Old school, whoever had an old school radio where you had to like, man, they were fun. You'd have to like, you know, you just a little bit here. Yeah. Do you remember those days? You millennials may not remember these days, but back in the old days.
Non-digital.
I'm giving you guys a hard time. All right. So we have to learn to tune ourselves in. The signal is always there. God is always speaking. We are the ones who have to learn to yield and surrender, which was a good song. And we need to learn to be people so that we tune into what he is saying. Test it. Okay, God, is this you speaking? Okay, does it line up with your word? Okay. Is it me looking for comfort for me? Is it me looking to manipulate somebody for my own benefit? Okay, well, then it may be, well, your voice. Is it something that is, you know, the devil? It's not usually, the hardest one is usually our voice or God's voice. You know, Satan's voice is usually not hard, it's not too hard to distinguish, all right? But it's us being able to tune into him. And yes. That's a good question. Okay, what do you think? What do you people think? She's like, if we hear God speaking and we ignore him and we kind of shut him out, does he continue to speak? Call out to me and I will answer you, show you great and mighty things. Go.
I just wanted to say, I know when God's speaking, but what I'm trying to say when he's not speaking, I notice it because he's really quiet, but what I'm starting to notice now is like, it's because he wants me to talk about the situation.
Okay.
So when I start talking about, like talking to him, then it's like, then he'll add little add-ons, you know, or like, then he'll start speaking to me more. So for me, it's more like, you know, when it's just quiet, then it's like, okay, God, now I know you want me to talk.
Okay, so, cool. Okay.
Also, I just want to say for you, just remember that he'll never leave you or forsake you, okay? So, I mean, I can see what you're trying to say, but just know that that's
there. Cool. I think part of it is, yeah, I just don't want to be in the position where I feel like I am ignoring him, you know? Does he speak less? Yeah. So I think it is that thing of does he speak less? I don't know. But I don't want to be in the position where I feel like I'm quenching him, or I want to be in the position where, like, I just want to be engaged in that conversation with him. Like, I love... I think it was Kristen or somebody I was at talking about. One of his favorite prayers to pray is, God, what do you want to talk about? You know, what's on your heart today? You know, so that it's not me coming to him with my stuff, but it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want to talk about? You set the conversation. You set up the topic of conversation today, and let's go.
That's how it is with me. Like, if I don't obey that game, then it's not that he's not.
not talking to me about other stuff, but it's like, you know what you want me, you know what I'm saying to you.
Yes.
And if you don't want to hear that, then
we need
to do this first. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Where I was coming from was, if I'm not hearing God, is it because I'm tuning him out? Is where I was saying, do we have a hard time hearing God? We are having a hard time hearing him. Is it because
we're tuning him out?
And I do that because I don't want to do what he's telling me to do. So I am tuning him out.
We change the subject.
I don't want to hear that.
But that's a good analogy. The radio waves don't stop.
Mark, hold on. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Okay, now go. Sorry.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Boom. Mic drop.
It's a soft heart.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's good. And that is that tuning, I think. If we're keeping ourselves in that place of, we're keeping ourselves in that place of, God, what are you wanting to say? What are you wanting to speak to me? What are you wanting to speak for somebody else? I think that's my heart in the evangelism side of it, is it's not just so that I can feel good that, oh, God loves me. Well, yeah, he loves me, but we've got a lost and broken world that needs to hear the love of God and the truth of God speaking to them. Here, go.
God's been speaking to me lately about how I have a tendency to initially trust him, and then once he starts, then I can throw in my own manipulation. In other words, he'll God, what do you think about this? And he'll start to talk, and I go, oh, you're right, I got a great idea. And I'm going to tell him. And it's kind of like the analogy that he gave me was like with my kids. Like, Allie will be like, can we go to the beach? And I'll be like, yeah, I was thinking we might be able to go like in 2 weeks when this happens. And she's like, cool. And then the next day I come home and she's like, you promised we're going to the beach on Friday. And I'm like, okay, I never said that. But God showed, that's kind of what I do with God. Like, here, let me tell you how we can take your idea, God, and make it better.
Cool.
So we need to just go with what he says, because his ideas are better.
Yeah.
I think sometimes for me too, when I'm hearing God's voice and then I don't hear it, sometimes it's because it's an invitation to hear him in a different way.
Yeah.
Like there might be a season of dreams and then a season where he wants me to get into the word and then a season where he wants me to learn from the people around me. But it's all like an invitation to grow with him. It's like
a
relationship.
Cool. See, I love this. This is what I love doing, dialoguing, because none of us have got it all down. So,
I was just going to say, also, sometimes, if you just feel like it's not, kind of what Gabe was saying, not so much like an audible voice all the time, because, in the Bible, he also used the donkey to speak to the person. So, I think you got to be really open and alert and just notice that it's not just from one source,
Yep.
That's so right. Just be mindful of what you're listening to. Kind of,
yep. Yep. That's right. Use the donkey, and so the moment any of us think we've got it going on, God can use whatever he wants. But, and I think that's the heart of when I went through that list, God will speak through tons of different ways. We just have to be open to hear it, with the point of that hearing the voice of God as a doorway into these gifts, the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts that he's given. And so I wanted to just go through them briefly, that a word of knowledge, is a now word with certain facts in the mind of God. A word of knowledge is like God might give you some facts about somebody who, in their situation right now, he might give you some understanding now. The reason why he would do that is if you go to somebody and say, hey, does this address and does this mean something and does this mean something? And somebody's like, how did you know that? That would be a word of knowledge for a now situation that would open the door to being able to hear the voice of God, right? If you come up to somebody who's a total stranger and give them some information because you've taken the time to hear the voice of God, then that would open up the opportunity to speak love and truth into somebody's life. Yes. Word of wisdom is about future things, wisdom for the future, and discerning of spirits, a supernatural insight into discerning the motivation is something, discerning is this, God, angel, or demon, all right? So this is hearing the voice of God. God will speak to us through with the discerning of spirits to go, okay, There's something there that is not God, okay? That is a spiritual dynamic, okay? So that's what discerning of spirits is. Not discerning of, ooh, that person's an evil person, but discerning of that is a spiritual dynamic going on, all right? So it's not the spirit of suspicion, it's a discerning of spirits, okay? This is all from 1 Corinthians 12. The power gifts, gift of faith. Like we have natural faith and we're supposed to, the gifts are, we have natural faith, which we are supposed to, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Okay, make sense? We're supposed to develop our natural faith. The supernatural gift of faith is where our natural faith runs out and there's that supernatural boom that is to pray for somebody to see them healed or whatever that faith thing that is way beyond ourselves. That is the gift of faith. So you would want to have heard from God and that you are stepping into the gift of faith, okay? The gift of working in miracles, God intervening in the ordinary course of nature, and the gift of healing, the supernatural healing of sickness and disease, okay? Those are the gifts. So you would want to, yes, we are supposed to, the promises of God say that healing is the children's bread. It is for today. So we're to exercise that natural praying for people for healing, okay? But sometimes the supernatural gift of these things will appear for praying for specific situations. Does that make sense? The natural and the supernatural. Utterance gift, prophecy, okay? Supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Tongues, supernatural utterance in a heavenly language and the interpretation of tongues. Supernatural understanding of the interpretation of tongues. These are the gifts of those things as opposed to our natural prayer language in praying in tongues. Does that make sense between the difference of those things? So we are to hear the voice of God so that we would function in the gifts that he's given to us. The gifts are given for the purpose of drawing all men to Christ, okay? That's why they're given. Hearing the voice of God is important for our daily revelation and following him, but beyond that, taking the eyes off ourselves, it is so that we would be able to be God's vessels to draw all men to him. That's the whole point of hearing the voice of God. Any other comments on hearing the voice of God? I'm just about done. In fact, I'm way past done. Okay. Any other comments? Questions or comments? Does it make sense? Does it make sense hearing the voice of God? Does it make sense that God wants to speak to us? Okay. Does it make sense that God wants to speak to us in so many different ways we just have to tune into him? Okay. God is the God who is a God of the supernatural who wants to function in all that he has through us. Do you have anything else? Got any comments? Okay. Anybody else? I'm going to get this thing wrapped up. Anybody?
Testimony?
Yep.
Yesterday, Ali got to participate in the parade.
Ali got to participate in the parade, and so Mom and I went out not just to watch Ali in the parade, but we went out with the intention of this is a great opportunity to see what God wants to do in somebody's life. And so we're walking along, could have walked past this lady, but I remembered her from Kingdom Kits and her son. And her son rode the bus last year when Stevie had summer school. And so, you know, I knew just a little bit about this little young man. And so we stopped and we started a conversation like Rory was saying. And that opened a door where the Holy Spirit began to really touch her. And she began to share some of the weightiness of what she had been experiencing. And so Mom and I got the opportunity to listen and see where the Lord wanted to speak into her life. And so we got to pray. Part of that was the discerning thing, recognizing some of the things that were coming against her and to prophesy and speak some life over her. And then Mom got a word of knowledge, which was really cool. And this young man has a congenital heart defect, and he had just 3 months prior, almost lost his life. He's 13 years old. And so anyway, Mom got this word about a spirit of death and broke that thing off of him. And she just said she felt light as a feather and she was so blessed. And then they turned around and prayed for us. And a little young man released a blessing over Mom and I. And anyway, it was so cool.
Awesome. Okay. But we don't get to be in those situations unless we put ourselves in those situations. Right? And so those are the things. You know, God will put people in our immediate sphere who are part of our, they're around us right now that we already have relationship with. We just need to deliberately engage. And then there's those every other opportunities that we got to put ourselves in to see God move, to hear his voice. Okay? Good? Any comments, Emery? So good to see you. You're also growing up. Look at you. All right. Anybody else? Laura? Got anything you want to add?